Mindy Vincent started Utah's first syringe exchange program in 2016. That was right after the state legalized it.
People were appalled. People were like, oh my gosh, you're going to do what? You're going to enable drug use? Like, what kind of craziness is this?
Syringe exchange is a harm reduction program. Vincent started the nonprofit Utah Harm Reduction Coalition, but sentiments have changed a bit. She says she's received interest from rural parts of the state wanting to set up exchange programs.
People thought the community was just going to fall to pieces, you know, that it was just going to be like this haven of people shooting up everywhere and discarding their syringes, and that's not at all what happened.
6 years ago, Utah passed a Good Samaritan law that grants immunity for drug possession if someone calls for emergency assistance in the case of an overdose. Another state law makes it easier for people to get a prescription for naloxone, an opioid reversal drug. These laws are forms of harm reduction, which is
anything that's going to take someone one step closer to wellness.
Sandra Soltzer is a health and wellness specialist at Utah State University. She also runs the Office of Health Equity and Community Engagement.
It's about reducing the harms of drug use for people who are unable or unwilling to stop using.
Harm reduction started to gain momentum in the U.S. during the AIDS crisis in the late 1980s and early 90s. Researchers learned that the majority of HIV transmission was due to intravenous drug use rather than through sexual activities. Public health researchers at the time worried about the virus's spread.
We've got to do something about this. We will not be able to get everybody to stop using drugs.
That's Don Desjarlais, a leader in HIV and AIDS research. Harm reduction programs like syringe exchanges were helpful in HIV prevention, but the country was in the middle of a crack cocaine epidemic.
That generated a lot of public anxiety and opposition to anything that had to do with trying to ameliorate illicit drug problems.
But by the late 1990s and early 2000s,
the scientific evidence was building up to the point where you could not deny it.
Despite 20 years of evidence that harm reduction approaches work, acceptance has been slow in Utah. 65% of Utahns are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which forbids alcohol and drugs. And there is a stigma against drug use. And for Soltzer of Utah State, what needs to happen is reframing addiction not as a moral failing, but as a biological dependency.
If you shoplift because you're a thief, that's perceived really negatively. But if you shoplift because, let's say, you have dementia and you literally just picked something up and walked out of the store and didn't realize, then we treat that instance very differently.
Soltzer says that abstinence-based drug programs have a long history in Utah and the rest of the country, which can make it challenging to convince people to try a harm reduction approach.
Even if someone has a belief that abstinence is truly the only way to be in recovery, the reality is that someone cannot get to that point unless they are alive and unless they are engaging in some capacity with some form of treatment.
Before Mindy Vincent started the Utah Harm Reduction Coalition, she herself was an abstinence-based therapist. Then she lost her sister from an opioid overdose 6 years ago.
But then my little brother was so addicted to opiates, and I was willing to do whatever it took to save his life.
Medication-assisted treatment worked for her brother. It's a program that has been successful because the treatments lessen the effects of opioid withdrawal. However, Soltzer says it's been underutilized.
There's also a misunderstanding that the medications are, quote unquote, getting people high, which when properly prescribed really is not what is happening.
Whether treatment is through medication, abstinence, or syringe exchange, research seems to suggest that getting people to open up about their stories is an effective way to help combat the opioid epidemic. Soltzer recalls a community meeting hosted by her organization's Youth Coalition in Emory County.
They asked the question, who in this room has been personally affected by an overdose? And looking around the room, literally every hand in the room had gone up. These friends and neighbors before that meeting were not talking to each other about it, right? It was sort of everyone's quiet personal shame.
Addressing Utah's opioid-related deaths will continue to be a challenge. And a few of the harm reduction strategies, like expanding syringe exchange, have been put on hold as the state confronts another public health crisis, the coronavirus pandemic. For Utah Public Radio, I'm Shoshana Buxbaum.